Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. In this episode, I want to look at everything else in the Conan universe that I've not yet covered. To some degree, this will just be a bullet list of all the stuff that didn't fit in anywhere else, but ideally it will be a way to find some of those hidden gems in the universe that got otherwise left out. So first of all, I'll say that there is a land to the south called Ophir. That's O-P-H-I-R. Ophir. It was a former ally of Aquilonia under Conan, but later betrays Conan and becomes an enemy of the state, I guess. In Ophir, there is a city called Khorshemesh. That's K-H-O-R-S-H-E-M-I-S-H. Khorshemesh. An Ophirian city, probably the capital. I don't know for sure, but it feels like the capital. It stood up gleaming and rose-tinted on the southeastern horizon, the slim towers overawed by the grim scarlet citadel that at a distance was like a splash of bright blood in the sky. That was the castle Tassatha. Only one narrow street, paved with marble and guarded by heavy iron gates, led up to it, where it crowned the hill dominating the city. The sides of that hill were too sheer to be climbed elsewhere. From the walls of the citadel, one could look down on the broad white streets of the city, on minareted mosques, shops, temples, mansions, and markets. One could look down, too, on the palaces of the king, set in broad gardens, high-walled, luxurious riots of fruit trees and blossoms, through which artificial streams murmured and silvery fountains rippled incessantly. You may or may not be able to tell from that description that Ophir has the reputation of being an avaricious city. It is proud and avaricious, is how it was described in one of the texts. It is also described as being an older kingdom. So the older kingdoms of Ophir, Corinthia, and Western Koth, which had been subject to the kings of Acheron, regained their independence with the fall of the empire. So that's a quote from one of the texts. I lost track of which one. But it's considered an old-ish kingdom, and one that is quite wealthy, or at least its ruling class is wealthy enough to have lavish cities and gardens and citadels and so on. The ruler of Ophir is King Amalrus, A-M-A-L-R-U-S, and he, again, was a former ally and later a betrayer of King Conan when Conan was on the throne of Aquilonia. He, in fact, aids Arpello in overthrowing Conan to put Arpello in place as king. The only other character we really have any data on from Ophir is Shukeli. That's S-H-U-K-E-L-I. That is Tassatha's chief eunuch, of whom grisly tales were whispered, a man with whom a bestial lust for torture took the place of normal human passions. So a real sick guy, Shukeli. Shukeli's pet, for lack of a better term, is Satha, S-A-T-H-A. Satha the Old One is a giant serpent located in Satha's dungeon. And as you can imagine, his purpose is to keep the prisoners in line, and probably to aid in their torture, and then conveniently dispose of them when the prisoners are no longer of use. That's everything I've got on Ophir, so let's go east now to Keshan. Keshan is a barbaric kingdom in the eastern hinterlands of Kush. Broad grasslands merge with the forests that roll up from the south here. The people claim to be descendants from an ancient civilization in a mythical age that had ruled a kingdom whose capital city was called Alkmenon. That's A-L-K-M-E-E-N-O-N. There are lots of legends, and most of them conflict with one another, about how this ancient civilization fell and why the survivors abandoned eventually the city, Alkmenon. But what is sure is that there is an abandoned city called Alcmenon, somewhere in Kush, and it holds within it a set of jewels called the Teeth of Gwalior. There's quite a lot of mystery around the Teeth of Gwalior, and it all stems from Princess Yelaya, who was the last ruler of Alcmenon. Alcmenon is known as the Silent City because no one visits it anymore, but legend has it that within Alcmenon, the Princess Yelaya, died in the full bloom of her youth and beauty, and whose body had miraculously remained unblemished throughout the ages. Of old, priests had made their way into the haunted city, and she taught them wisdom. The last priest to seek the oracle had been a wicked man, who had sought to steal for himself the curiously cut jewels that men called the Teeth of Gwalior. But some doom had come upon him in the deserted palace, from which his acolytes, fleeing, had told tales of horror that had for 100 years frightened the priests from the city and the oracle. As I say, there's a lot of mystery around this whole ordeal, and I can't go too deeply into it without grievous spoilers that you would not forgive me for if you hadn't read the book. So I'm not going to go too deep into this. This can be found in the book called Jewels of Gwalior. So if you read, that's one of my favorite, I think I probably say this often, but that is one of my favorite Conan stories, is The Jewels of Gwalior. It's got some surprises and twists that you just won't see coming. And it's a real, really, really entertaining one. And it's one that I've based an introductory Dungeons and Dragons story that I kind of drummed up on the spot, was heavily based on The Jewels of Gwalior. And it's never let me down, not once. It's a brilliant story for an introduction into all the mysteries that could go into a Dungeons and Dragons world. So Kashan is, as I said, located in the hinterlands of Kush. And Kush is a sea coastal region ruled by King Ajaga, A-J-A-G-A. It trades primarily in ivory, copper ore, slaves, and pearls. There are a couple of different regions within it. So there's Kashan in the hinterlands, the eastern hinterlands of Kush. There's Zimbabwe, that's Zimbabwei, which is just a kingdom near Kashan. We don't know a whole lot about it. That's basically what we know, that it exists. There's also a place called Punt, P-U-N-T. It's another kingdom, and I believe, from what I can extract from the descriptions, I believe it sits between Zimbabwe and Kashan. And then finally, there's a small region off of the Kushite coast called Zabela, Z-A-B-H-E-L-A. It is not super clear to me where Zabela lies in terms of allegiance, and in fact, it seems to be a question among the population itself. So, this is a quote, "The hybrid population cared little whether the king who controlled their destinies dwelt in dark Kemi or gleaming Agrapur. Jungir Khan ruled Zamboula, and the men whispered that Nefertari, the satrap's mistress, ruled Jungir Khan. But the people went their way, flaunting their myriad colors in the streets, bargaining, disputing, gambling, swilling, loving, as the people of Zamboula have done for all the centuries. Its towers and minarets have lifted over the sands of the Kuramun." It's getting away from the coastal regions, I think, and it's getting into the region of Turan, which you can listen to the episode about Turan for more information about that. But this is that kind of, that weird sort of middle ground, that uncomfortable middle land that I'm not quite sure where to classify it. Is it part of Kush? Is it part of Turan? Is it part of neither? It feels like it might be neither. But it is also a mixing pot. Like, that's the description. It's myriad of colors in the streets, bargaining, disputing, gambling. That's how that city is. It's very much a lot of different people gathering in a crossroads. And that's Zabela. The people, important people of certainly Kashan, and by extension, I guess you could say Kush, are, well, many of them are dead, first of all, but not all of them. So there's Princess Yelaya. That's the last ruler of Alcmenon, now an oracle in the deserted palace, perfectly preserved as she was in life. So she has not aged a day, nor decayed for that matter. There is Garulda, a high priest of Alcmenon. Guarunga, a priest of Alcmenon. Thukmetri, who is a Stygian, actually, and he's making some power plays within the region. He's working with Zargiba, and Zargiba has a Corinthian dancing girl named Muriela. Corinth is another place that has been mentioned from time to time in the Conan universe, and we don't have a whole lot of information about it. It is, again, you might have caught it when I was talking about Ophir. It's one of the quote-unquote older kingdoms, along with Ophir and Koth. So we know that it's an old kingdom, but that's sort of all we really know about it, Corinthia. There are a couple of places that get mentioned here and there, often as the home of some character, and we don't really know a whole lot about it. So Corinth is one of them, or Corinthia, rather, is one of them. Brythunia is another, Brythunia. It is mentioned as the home of some beautiful blonde women. I highlight that because it suggests possibly region, because if we assume that blonde-haired people are from a certain region in this universe, then Brythunia you could probably logically assume that it's in the same region. Not that we know the region, and not that we know whether or not that's actually even true, because while most blonde people might be from one region, maybe there's a pocket of them somewhere else. Who knows? So that's Brythunia. There's also a place called Shadazar, the City of Wickedness, where captive girls are sold at public auctions. Don't know where that is either, Shadazar. Sounds like an unfriendly place, but we don't know where it is. So let's move on to Hyrcania. Hyrcania is, I mean, it's funny that it's taken this long for me to get around to Hyrcania, because if you read the full history of Robert E. Howard's world, Hyrcanians are all over that. But at the same time, it is because it's historical from Conan's perspective that we don't really hear so much about Hyrcanians in the actual Conan books. It's mentioned here and there, but it doesn't play an important role anymore, not in the world that Conan lives in. But the Hyrcanian people are descendant from the Lemurians. The Lemurians were contemporaries with Atlanteans, or, you know, the people of Atlantis. And if you've heard of Atlantis before, then yes, it's that Atlantis, as far as I can tell. So they're kind of a prehistoric people, the Lemurians, and those that survived this great cataclysm that separates prehistory from history in the Conan universe, those that survived sort of became what we now call the Hyrcanians. Hyrcania, the region, is situated along the Vilayet Sea. And the Vilayet Sea, you might remember from when I was talking about, well, Turin, first of all, the kingdom of Turin, but specifically Vindia. And as far as I can tell, Hyrcania is kind of maybe opposite of most of Turin. So possibly maybe, you know, divided, kept separate by the Vilayet Sea. Maybe they touch borders at some point, but generally speaking, that's kind of the situation, is that there's Turin, and then there's the Vilayet Sea, and then there's Hyrcania, or Hyrcania, and then the Vilayet, and then Turin. I'm not really sure. Now, depending on how much of a fan you are of, technically it's the Conan expanded universe, but just generally, comic books is the way I know this character. But there is a character named Red Sonja, and Red Sonja technically the name Red Sonja is a name that Robert E. Howard wrote down. He had a character called Red Sonja. It is not in any way the same character. The Red Sonja that Robert E. Howard wrote about was a contemporary, like a modern day person, and the Red Sonja, the name Red Sonja was adopted by someone else. I haven't done enough research to know who created the character, but again, the way I know her is from her comics, And she lives, she's this red-haired warrior who, in chainmail, bikini type sword and sorcery, just a mean fighter who exists in the Conan universe, so much so, in fact, that she is actually a Hyrkanian. She's Red Sonja from Hyrkania. Well, she's removed from Hyrkania by force, but as a child, but that's where her history is from. That's where her family's from, Hyrkania. So you may know Hyrkania from that. And yes, that's the same Hyrkania, but that's expanded universe. So what I'm going to talk about is just the Conan stuff, which isn't a whole lot. We know that Hyrkanians, the knights or the fighters from Hyrkania wear steel and silk and gold, which, again, I know I'm not talking about expanded universe, but that kind of fits with the Red Sonja description. But I digress. So there's a couple of there's a region, an important region in Hyrkania called Khawarizm, Khawarizm. Khawarizm. This appears in the Devil in Irons story of Conan. It is, we know that it's a region of Hyrkania. It is ruled by Jahundir Aga. There's an important river that flows through the Hyrkanian region that's mentioned in both the People of the Black Coast and Devil in Irons. It's called the Zaporoska River, a wilderness of reeds in the Khawarizm region, a swampy jungle in which official expeditions have been cut to pieces by Kozak factions. Kozak is K-O-Z-A-K. There's a fort in this area, Fort Gori, G-H-O-R-I. It is a Hyrkanian city. As far as I can tell, it is within this Khawarizm region. And that's pretty much all we know about the land of Hyrkania. A couple of important people in the region, obviously, Jahungir Aga. He is the lord and king of the Khawarizm region. Of course, in Conan, any really good evil ruler has a torture master. And Jahungir Aga's torture master is named Gilzan. He is the torture master of Jahungir Aga and feared by many. Ghaznavi, G-H-A-Z-N-A-V-I. Ghaznavi is the counselor to Jahungir Aga. And then finally, there's Jalal Khan, J-E-L-A-L space Khan, K-H-A-N. He's a noble in the region. His name is a byword for degeneracy, even in Khawarizm. That's really all we know about Hyrkania from the Conan stories, which, again, is just not a lot considering the impact that Hyrkanians have had on the world of Conan the Barbarian. But that's what we have. And last but not least, I'll do a couple of quick rapid-fire mentions of a couple of different places that I think, I don't know, deserve a mention. One is Zapur, Z-A-P-U-R, and this one's a little bit confusing, but I'll talk about it and then tell you why it's confusing. So Zapur is called Zapur the Fortified. It's an uninhabited island, and it is called the Fortified because it holds ancient ruins of a once great castle and armament. Pirates supposedly sometimes hold secret meetings there. Now, Zapur is, I think, possibly either a modern name for Dagon, or Dagon is another name for Zapur, or Dagon is the god of Zapur, or Dagon is the racial name for ancient people of Zapur. Not too sure, and it's not very clear in the text. We do know that the Yuetshi, who we heard about in the God episode, the Conan Gods episode, the Yuetshi were slaves of the Dagonians of Zapur. That is how it is stated, the Dagonians of Zapur. So I don't know what a Dagonian is. I don't know if that's the people, the sort of the location from whence the people came, or the god who the people worship. But the Yuetshi were the slaves of the Dagonians of Zapur until they revolted and burned and slew. Only the magic of Kozatrel Kal, or Kel, rather, who we heard about in the gods episode, kept them from destroying the central Zapur city. So that's Zapur, and that's why it is all of the things. It is confusing, it is important, and it is old. Yeteli is a native of Zapur. possibly a Dagonian, although I still don't know what a Dagonian is. Yateli is resurrected magically when the ruin of Zapur is restored 1,000 years after its fall. And that's all I will say about Yateli. Another one to whet your appetite for mysterious locations is Kitai. That's K-H-I-T-A-I. It is called the Lost Jungles of Kitai, and this is where the Yellow Skulled Priests of Yun dwell. Yun, as I mentioned in the gods episode, is potentially a god. Again, not too sure, because priests of Yun, I mean, that's probably meaning that Yun is a god, but it could just mean that they're priests in a city called Yun, or priests of a tribe called Yun. We don't know. Here is found the Black Lotus, a flower whose blossoms strike dead any who smell of them. People from this region are called Khitans, K-H-I-T-A-N-S, and are sometimes highly specialized bounty hunters for hire. There's a lot to love there if you're like me, but unfortunately we don't get to go to Kitai in the stories ever. But we do, we've heard about it, and we get to meet someone who is maybe about, I don't know, twice removed from Kitai. So there's this woman named Salome, and she appears in A Witch Shall Be Born is the name of the story. She is the twin sister of Taramis. She's long thought dead, but she turns up one day, and it turns out that she's a witch, or as someone disdainfully refers to her, a harlot of darkness, which personally I would take a harlot of darkness over witch anyway. So and she seems fine with it as well. She actually doesn't seem to mind the slur harlot of darkness. But Salome was raised by a magician from Kitai, who recognized this birthmark that she has on her chest, and recognized that it meant that she was a great power herself. And so he raised her and taught her all of his dark arts. Now, she eventually got bored with it all and left because she didn't want to just sit around and study. She goes on some adventures of her own, which, upon seeing how they turn out, maybe she should have studied a little bit longer. But she's a great character, and she's a lot of fun to read. So check out A Witch Shall Be Born if you get a chance. Okay, and then last, and certainly not least, is a little place called Cimmeria. That's C-I-M-M-E-R-I-A. And if you are a fan of Conan, then you know this land quite well. Well, you don't know the land all that well, but you know the name quite well, because Conan, in truth, in the stories, in the original stories, is called the Cimmerian, or Conan the Cimmerian, far more often than he's ever referred to as Conan the Barbarian. I'm not really sure where Conan the Barbarian, like, where that phrase sort of came from, but reading the books, I was really quite surprised how very infrequently he's called a barbarian. And as I've said before, the actual Conan, the Conan that, if you read the stories, the Conan that you will come to know is not a big brutish barbarian who likes to make things go boom. He's much more of a rogue and thief, really. A good fighter, but not sort of what a lot of us typically think of as a barbarian. So Cimmeria, the region, is north. As far as we can tell, it's kind of as far north as civilization goes. It is a land of fierce warriors. Both men and women go to battle. The Cimmerians once attacked a border city called Venarium, when Conan was maybe 15 years old. The barbarians swept out of the hills in a ravening horde without warning and stormed Venarium with such fury that none could stand before them. Men and women and children were butchered. Venarium was reduced to a mass of charred ruins, as it remains to this day. As a result, the Aquilonians, who are south of Cimmeria, don't mess with Cimmeria. They never go that far north. It's just not worth it to them. They've seen what Cimmeria is capable of, and they leave them alone. So in terms of immediate threats, and that would be the Gundermen, the Gundermans is what they're called, the northern Aquilonians, which I kind of gather is kind of, yeah, sort of midway, you know, maybe it's probably one of those places that's technically it's Aquilonia, but going there, you wouldn't even, you wouldn't think you were still in Aquilonia. You would probably think you were somewhere in the north, and you would be. You'd be in the north, but technically it's owned by Aquilonia. But Aquilonia has never pressed farther north because Cimmeria has kind of drawn a line in the mountain as to how far up that mountain you can go. I don't know if the north region is called Nordheim, or if there's a specific region maybe more north than Cimmeria, or maybe just as north, but either to the east or the west of Cimmeria. But there's a place that is referred to as Nordheim at some point in one of the stories. Presumably it would be Viking country, because the word Valhalla is associated with it as well. So Nordheim and Valhalla are both mentioned, and it is even said that the Aesir come down from the north to battle, I think, the Hyrcanians, something like that. So there are a bunch of Nordic terms thrown around when referring to the north. There's no indication that those Nordic traits are shared within the region of Cimmeria. Cimmeria, as I have said in the Gods episode, is ruled apparently primarily by Crom, by my reckoning, a chaotic evil god who Conan swears by, but never really is very hesitant to bother, because apparently if you bother Crom, you are as likely to be cursed as you are to be blessed. That is essentially all we know about Cimmeria. There is some argument, some debate over whether what people suppose is the youngest Conan story, meaning the story in which Conan appears as at his youngest age of all the stories, whether or not that is actually set in Cimmeria. It is identified as a cold region. There's lots of snow and so on, but we don't know for sure that that's in Cimmeria. And there's reason to believe that it wouldn't be Cimmeria. It could be, for instance, the Venarium, the land of Venarium, where maybe Conan at 15 was fighting. Who knows? We're not really sure. So we really don't know a whole lot about Cimmeria, other than, as I said, it's a land of fierce warriors, lots of hardship. Crom is your god. Crom teaches you to protect yourself and to conquer others. And that's what you get if you're born in Cimmeria. That's pretty much everything. That's the world of Conan the Barbarian. Or at least it's the geography and cultures of Conan the Barbarian. In the next episode about Conan, I will cover different things like magic items, monsters, different races or ancestries, and random things like that. But I think that we've covered basically all of the land masses. So hopefully that was informative and inspiring. And if anything, if nothing else, hopefully this will get you, if you haven't already, to go read the Conan stories, because they're fantastic. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as Not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.